Tiny Podcast is a Better Manchester initiative. Visit www.bettermanchester.com/subscribe to learn more. When you subscribe to Better Manchester, you'll have full access to captivating featured stories, uplifting ideas, and helpful community updates. We hope you subscribe and join us in this next evolution of #BetterManchester. Connect on any device at any time to Better Manchester today. Better Manchester, connecting communities. Those who have no record of what their forebears have accomplished lose the inspiration which comes from the teaching of biography and history. Carter G. Woodson. Woodson, an American historian, regarded as the father of black history, is well known for his passion for the education of black culture. The accurate education and celebration of all historical events is crucial to human growth and success. This allows us to both learn from past mistakes and grow further within victories. But, as Woodson says, the mere imparting of information is not education. Above all things, the effort must result in making a man think and do for himself. So, with the idea in mind of learning history to do better for ourselves, today we speak with Susan Barlow, Manchester's own town historian, a person whose love for history can be shown in her work and dedication. I'm your host, Ryan Ward, and welcome to the Tiny Podcast. How long have you been working for Manchester?
Well, the town historian is actually a privilege.
Yeah.
And it's not a paid position.
Oh, okay.
It's an honorary
position. Oh, interesting. I didn't actually know that.
Yes, and it's... does that disqualify me?
No,
of course not.
No, it's perfect. Yeah.
So there has been a town historian for many years in Manchester. Bolton has one. Coventry has one.
Okay.
Each town can, according to state law, appoint a town historian.
Oh, okay.
But not every town does. And then every town kind of does its own thing. I personally like to do walking tours.
Yeah.
And I've done a lot of those.
Mm.
I have one coming up on September 17th.
Oh, nice.
In the Center Memorial Park.
Okay.
We're going to walk from the town hall to the Civil War Monument.
Okay.
And kind of recreate the dedication, the unveiling of the statue, which was unveiled on the 15th anniversary of the Battle of Antietam. So this, in effect, commemorates an unveiling that commemorates the Battle of Antietam.
Wow, yeah. That's a great segue into to my first question. So even though, you know, you mentioned it's an honorary title, how long have you held that honorary title, approximately?
Oh, I think 5 or 6 years.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. So and before that, I was kind of the assistant town historian because the town historian was mobility challenged, able to go out and do walking tours and that sort of thing.
Mm.
So the privilege of being the town historian is that you can design programs and involve the community.
Yeah.
And it's really a pleasure.
Yeah, I could tell. You sent me over the web designs or the newsletters, right?
Yeah.
Those were amazing. I mean, you sent me over two of them, and I mean, you had jigsaw puzzles of old pictures, trivia, you know, information. I mean, that was all in a very digestible one-page email. And when did that start? Is that a more recent thing?
That's more recent. I think that was about 2019.
Mm-hmm. And what is that? It's the web series. What would you call it?
Well, like Manchester Matters, we've been doing it every week.
Yeah.
Since 2019. And you think we'd run out of trivia? No.
Yeah.
No. In fact, I sometimes get, you know, somebody will say, "Hey, why don't you have a tavern, you know, some particular tavern that's either there or not there." This is a really interesting part of Manchester that quite a few of the buildings have been repurposed.
Oh, okay.
So, for example, the old high school is now Bennett Apartments.
Okay, wow.
If you go downtown, that huge building downtown that's the Bennett Apartments used to be The high school.
Okay.
And if you go in there, you can still see the corridors. And,
yeah.
You know, upstairs, the top floor was an auditorium.
Oh, okay.
So that's a very favorable thing for history, that instead of tearing a building down that's not being used, that you could repurpose it. This is a part of Manchester that was demolished.
So what am I, tell me what I'm looking at here. You brought in a picture for us, for those who can't see at home.
Yes, this, it's actually a panoramic picture, so it's, you actually wouldn't be able to see this whole thing.
Right,
you know what I mean?
Right.
It's like a circle.
Right.
But this is the old North End, also known as Depot Square.
Okay.
And where the main line of the railroad came through, that's what this is.
Wow.
All these buildings were demolished in the 1960s.
Mm.
That was a time in, well, not just Manchester, but throughout the country, where out with the old. We don't want all that old stuff. Let's build us some nice cinder block buildings.
Mm-hmm.
So if you go over to the CVS in the North End, that's where all this was.
Wow,
and
okay.
It's gone.
Yeah.
It was 1918.
1918, wow. So. This is a great, another great segue. You are, you know, you're the honorary town historian. So what pieces of town history are very important to you? What do you find most important?
Well, I'll tell you a little story about that.
Yeah.
I grew up in the North End.
Okay.
And went to Whiten Library,
which
I just adore.
I love that library.
It's so beautiful.
It's so, yeah.
You know, the plaster ceilings and the, just all kinds of details.
Yeah.
And the fireplace, the paneling.
Yeah.
Anyway, when I was in elementary school, I hated history.
Mm-hmm.
So boring.
Yeah.
This date, that battle, you know, to me it wasn't at all interesting. Anyway, I was in Whiten Library one day, and there towards the back, when you go into the back room, was a portrait of Dr. Francis Whiten.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, who is this? Because I'd been saying Whiten Library all my life, more like Whiten, you know, like not Whiten,
yeah.
Whiten. And I asked the librarian about it, and the librarian said, oh, are you interested in history?
I thought,
is this history? You mean Dr. Francis Whiten and his story, how he supported the library, how he lived in the North End, and he and his wife were very interested in education and providing free books for people.
Oh, wow.
That here was a person who personally made a difference in Manchester by creating a fund. Actually, the fund that he gave, they didn't have children, and they used all their money as a legacy to build Whiten Library with an endowment, which at the time, if you use an inflation index, it would probably be in the millions of dollars to sustain this library. So I'm looking at this picture, and there's another picture of him at his house, which was quite nearby. It's demolished now.
Mm-hmm.
With roses, and he and his wife grew roses in their yard. This is Dr. Whiten. So all of a sudden, I'm realizing, well, maybe I do like history.
Yeah.
Because it's about people. And it's not just memorizing dates. So, in answer to your question, people. I think the people part of history is the most interesting.
Yeah.
How they lived, what they endured, how they coped during the Great Depression. That's a period that is just, it was a devastating time in our country. The people starved to death. And yet, somehow, we dragged ourselves out of it. And then there was World War II. How did that affect people? Women went to work in factories as Rosie the Riveter.
Yeah.
And then what happened at the end of the war? Well, kind of a recession. And women were kicked out of Pratt & Whitney. So that was, you know, all these changes, looking back, are instructive for the future.
Yes.
Like COVID's a good example.
Mm.
How are we going to cope with this? How do we move on from that?
Yeah.
How do we, you know, we don't shake hands anymore. I'm okay with that.
But
it's like there are shifts in how we relate to each other.
Yeah, that is a really good point. I mean, I think, you know, speaking on COVID and the, you know, current times and stuff, but this is a very significant point in history, you know, a global pandemic, you know. Mm-hmm. So I think also people, I think that's a beautiful, you know, mm-hmm. aspect of history. Documentaries, whatever your medium is, newsletters, you know, web newsletters, whatever your medium is, I think the people are usually have the most interesting stories and have the most profound effects on the changing of history.
Speaking of media,
yeah,
we do have a TV show.
You do?
The Historical Site is a TV show. This
is that local access?
Yes, over at Cox Cable, which was closed for 2.5 years. Mm. So they're mostly reruns. They are all reruns, but the one running this month is about Woodland Gardens. Mm. And Leon Zapadka is the person that I'm interviewing, and he's talking about how Woodland Gardens got started. Like 80 years ago,
yeah.
We interviewed a Royal Ice Cream. Mm. Royal Ice Cream was started in 1926.
Wow.
And so those are mostly people. Some of them are events. You know, we do some.
Yeah,
events.
Of course, yeah.
And then I have some books that I wrote, booklets. Vet Haven. This was a little development of houses for returning veterans after World War II.
Oh, that's
I'm sorry
amazing.
That the radio, the podcast people can't see this.
That's quite all right.
If you look in the background, you'll see
yeah.
these little houses. This is one I wrote. This woman, she has passed away now.
Yeah.
Helena Kottman. She was a Holocaust survivor, she and her husband. And they owned the Parkade Bakery, which was so popular. Like
yeah.
on a Sunday,
yeah.
there'd be a line out the door.
Yeah.
She was just very inspiring. She was 16
Helen
years
Kottman.
Old
yeah.
in the Warsaw Ghetto.
Wow.
Was taken to Majdanek and then Auschwitz.
Wow.
Barely survived.
And then came to Manchester.
I think they came in through Canada.
Wow.
Anyway, her husband was going to be opening this bakery, and she said, bagels, rye bread, they're going to love it. And people were telling her, no, this is not in the 1950s. Americans don't know about dark bread bagels. Turned out they love them.
Yeah, of course.
That was interesting.
I am one of them for sure.
Yeah. This one is about Miss Lowe. She was a teacher at Manchester High School. She was my French teacher, actually.
Oh, wow.
And my husband's French teacher and taught hundreds, if not thousands, of children over the years, and did more than teaching the language of French,
yeah.
how to say bonjour and that sort of thing. It was about the culture of
yeah.
France as well. A very inspiring woman. She grew up in France during World War I when Paris was being bombed.
Wow.
And lost her mother during World War I. So that's the story of her life.
Wow. Yeah.
And this one is just this guy, Edward Lincoln Bidwell. He was no big town official. He might have served on a committee or two. He wasn't a big businessman, but he wrote his memoirs back in the 1920s about growing up in the 1870s.
Wow.
So what a treasure this
yeah.
turned out to be. They were published in the Manchester Herald, and he just talked about, just when I say people,
yeah.
going to school.
Yeah, his friends maybe.
Yeah,
yeah.
yeah. There was
yeah.
no running water, so the boys would take a pail over to the brook and get water, and then you had your dipper,
yep.
like a ladle,
yep.
and everybody had, can you imagine?
Yeah, yeah. people have water fountains. Oh, water fountain's not working. It's like, they went over to a brook.
Yes.
Come on. That's wow. That's so interesting, though. I really appreciate you bringing in those books. And now, did you write most of them or collect the data?
This one, these were somebody actually retyped the Manchester Herald columns.
Okay.
And then I created the booklet.
It's very good. It's very organized, and it just looks
yeah.
great.
You could take any one person in this town.
Mm.
Take Joe Camposio, the former town clerk,
mm-hmm.
and sit him down, and you would find out so much.
Yeah.
It's almost too much, you might say.
Yeah, yeah. So with that, with the perspectives of history being broadened, because, you know, we're having these conversations, we're talking to people, we're learning more about our own history, and sometimes things that aren't always shared or weren't always shared right away. Is there any history in Manchester that we're rediscovering, or things that we maybe were under the impression that we, you know, it was one way and now it's another way, or even, you know, where it kind of things came from? Is that?
That's an excellent question. And it goes into science now, DNA, carbon dating, et cetera. When I was going to school, they didn't have that. And we made an assumption that indigenous people were here maybe 2,000 or 3,000 years before the Europeans came on their ships. Now, we know they were here for 10,000, 12,000 years. And there's evidence, and now we can check that evidence.
Yeah.
This arrowhead, carbon dated, whatever, these bones, DNA. It's amazing how these ideas that we had, or, you know, facts, if you will.
Yeah,
now
what
we called facts, we're now realizing they were not true. And I happen to be wearing my Abraham Lincoln quote T-shirt.
History, I'll read it for. History is not history unless it is the truth.
Yeah.
That is beautiful.
Yeah.
I love that quote.
But we made assumptions. If you go back into the 19th century, how did these, like Case Mountain, okay, you've been hiking over there.
Of course.
Metamorphic rock, right? Ledges that go 25 feet high. And yet, over by the mall, it's sandstone.
Yeah.
It's this porous sandstone. Is this the same town?
Yeah.
So you wonder, well, how is it that it could be so different on different sides of one town? We're talking 2.5 miles or 3 miles. So going back to the 19th century, they really didn't understand about how geology, how geological events affected your landscape. We over by Case Mountain is the Eastern Ground Fault. They didn't know what the Eastern Ground Fault was.
Right, yeah.
They didn't have any idea about plate tectonics. This was not until the 1960s.
Yeah.
This was a crackpot theory when it first came out.
Yeah.
Oh, what are you talking about? You know, the continent, come on. But it turns out that this theory, now they can show that tectonic plates have affected Earth for millions of years.
Yeah.
Dinosaurs. We had dinosaurs in Manchester over at the mall where the sandstone, we may have had dinosaurs elsewhere, but we have evidence of dinosaurs
here. Yeah, yeah.
And if you go back to the 19th century when people believed that the world was created in a particular time and it was only 5,000 years old, you really couldn't have dinosaurs.
Yeah.
So they're seeing these bones and saying, well, maybe it was like a big horse or whatever. Now we look back and we say, it was a dinosaur.
Yeah.
And now we have bones. Now we have out west and we have, you know, we have evidence. And so I guess you might say history is a moving target.
Okay, yeah.
And we don't even know. I think sometimes about people 100 years from now. Will they look back at us and say, ha, ha, ha.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, they were so silly.
Yeah.
They didn't understand about whatever.
Right.
That they will take for granted 100 years from now.
Yeah, so like just with the advancement of technology and the, you know, the continued growth of knowledge that we have as a community, as a historian, where would you suggest somebody look to for accurate information about history, the truth, you know, that sort of deal?
Well, the Manchester Historical Society website, manchesterhistory.org, there's a red rectangle that says sign up for free e-news. And if you sign up for that, it's only once a week, and you'll begin to see maybe a pattern of what you're interested in. Maybe you're more interested in parks. What were they doing at Mount Nebo back in 1920? If you read the e-newsletter, maybe you'll see, well, I'm kind of interested in this or interested in that. And then it'll usually have a link that you could go back and find more information.
Okay.
On the website, thanks to volunteers, not myself, and I didn't bring that particular book. It's the 1923 Spies and Bidwell, History of Manchester. The entire book is online.
Oh, wow.
In the reprint section. This is another book. This one came out in 1973, roughly. The sesquicentennial, the 150th anniversary of Manchester. The Spies and Bidwell was the 100th, the centennial.
Okay.
But the whole thing was scanned And it's online, and you can read up on it. And he was very interested in the Indians, by the way, Matthias Spies.
Mm.
So the beginning of that book about the history of Manchester goes back to the indigenous people who lived here before the colonists.
Yeah.
In the 1600s,
yeah.
Manchester began to be settled. It didn't become its own town until 1823.
Okay.
That's why next year we're celebrating the 200th anniversary.
I know. It's very exciting. I'm very excited to be part of the town, you know, working for the town during a time like that.
I'm going
to
talk one more thing about...
Yeah, of course.
I brought this book by William E. Buckley, This History of Manchester. And it just... He was an educator. He taught in Hartford.
Mm-hmm.
And he wrote a couple books. But he was not 100% accurate.
Mm.
Now, whether this is 1970s, he didn't have a computer or a word processor. Maybe he was writing on yellow legal pads with a pencil.
Mm-hmm.
And whoever transcribed it maybe got it a little bit mixed up. But here, he's talking about how Manchester changed as immigrants came in.
Mm.
When the Cheney brothers started to boom and the Union cotton mills began to boom, you needed huge numbers of people and immigration at this time. People were coming from Europe, etc. Okay, here it is. In the late 1840s and early 1850s, a blight killed the potato plants in Ireland. The next year, the disease struck again. Potatoes were the main element in the diet of the Irish, and famine conditions prevailed in most of the country. Hundreds of people died of disease or actual starvation. No, a million people died in Ireland.
Wow, yeah.
And a million people emigrated out of Ireland. So where did he get hundreds of people died?
Yeah.
So then I'm thinking he was writing out and somebody typed it wrong or nobody caught that.
Yeah.
You know, 15% of Ireland's population died.
Yeah.
During the...
Yeah, pandemic. Hundreds is a very... is a handful, comparatively.
Yeah.
Is, yeah.
They
yeah.
didn't entirely understand what was causing...
Of course,
and,
yeah.
You know, today we can go back and look at the fungus and we...
Right, yeah.
So, you're right to say that when people are looking for accurate information or they're looking for facts, it isn't always apparent where you're going to get the best facts. So, as far as accuracy, you don't just look at one. You don't just look at the Herald for that particular day. Maybe you look in the next day's Herald where it has, oh, correction.
Yeah.
We really meant to say. You can read the Hartford Courant online. This goes back to 1762.
Mm.
And, you know, you can search by keywords and you can find a lot of information there. And, you know, like, a lot of it is accurate. There's a good example with gravestones.
Mm.
So going back a long time, times when you didn't have a lot of money and your parent died and you wanted to erect a stone, but you didn't have the money just then.
Mm.
And so you'd put the stone up 3 years later. And instead of saying they were born on July 20th, what year were they? I think it was July 18th, wasn't it? So gravestones might not be 100% accurate. You'd think they'd be.
Right,
but
right.
But there again, check genealogical records. Check, like the town records may have the birth certificate. And so you really should check three places.
So are there? So speaking of the re-examining of history, is there anything in our community in Manchester, a place, people, things, what is being re-examined within our community?
Well, that's a wonderful question. Do you know the cabin at Case Mountain?
I'm somewhat familiar with it.
So there was a plan by the town to demolish that cabin and create a platform.
Mm.
That is a unique structure, an Adirondack style cabin, a summer home, tells the story of industrialists like the Case brothers, even the Cheney brothers as well, even Hilliard Mills, that these industrialists were not like the ones in, say, Lowell, Massachusetts, where the mill owners did not live anywhere near their employees. They didn't even live in the same town.
Oh,
because
okay.
That's how bad labor relations were, how they treated their help. Here in Manchester, the mill owners caring for their community, caring for their employees. So the Case Brothers opened those carriage paths to the public. Anybody could go out there. There's a sense in Manchester, as in other communities, of industrialists helping the community. So I view that cabin as something that really should be saved because it tells the story of rustication, you might say, or enjoying the outdoor. It's really a part of Manchester. So I hope that answered your question.
No, it did. Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate that. It's a good perspective to gain. I appreciate it. Yeah, it's not something that I was particularly familiar with, but I'm glad that I got that insight. So I appreciate that. Is there anything else, though, that you'd like to talk about or anything that you'd want to share with either the community, whether it be, you know, like resources that, you know, like if you want to share again the website?
So I'll go over that again. On ManchesterHistory.org, which is our website, right on the homepage, sign up for free e-news. And all you have to do is put your name in and your email address. You don't have to be a member of the Historical Society. In fact, we have about, I think, 880 subscribers. So that's a source. Could just Google Today in Connecticut History and that would come up. Of course, a lot of people find their email now a little overwhelming.
I know, yeah.
But I'll say for the Manchester History e-newsletter, it's only once a week.
Yeah.
And nobody checks up on you if you didn't do the puzzle each week.
So that's perfect. So thank you again, though. I really appreciate you being on here. And I think that's going to wrap it up.
The Tiny Podcast is a production of Better Manchester, an initiative of the Town of Manchester in collaboration with the Department of Leisure, Family, and Recreation. For more information on the Tiny Podcast, visit manchesterct.gov. Thanks for listening, and until next time, this is Ryan Ward signing off.